Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
Wrestling podcasts should have a theme song. Wrestling podcasts should not have a theme song. Yes, they should. No, they shouldn't. They sound good. Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it. You know what?
You're right.
Tights and Fights. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hal the Talk Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, Kelki Maivia, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello. Hello, my secret... it's the use of the Kelki. It genuinely, I don't like to use the word triggering, but like literally I'm like, wait, am I 14? What's happening? Am I about to get beaten by my fellow schoolmates? I don't know. It's very upsetting. Yeah. Don't Kelki me, Julian. Not Kelki me.
If I hear hello, I know that like maybe it's like, oh, is this a rough day for you? What's going on there? Because this is our first Max Fun Drive episode, we have made this special network crossover event with a very special guest. It is the other half of We Got This with Mark and Hal. Mark Gags to Riches Gagliardi.
Ooh,
welcome.
I got a wrestling name. Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is exciting and very weird to be on this show. It's very weird. I feel like...
Weird for you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'm the wife or the mistress, but I'm one of them.
Do you want me and Julian to just step out the room? Should we just leave?
No. We are all here for this. We are all going to sit here.
I gotta go. I wasn't expecting all of you to show up. I thought I only sent one text.
Yeah, should have checked that invite, Hal. Should have checked that invite.
That's on me. I'm sweating. In case you couldn't tell, this is a special Max Fun crossover episode. We've got a lot to talk about regarding Max Fun membership, including the return of our beloved wrestling nicknames. Can you believe we have already gotten new members, and the drive just started today? This is live information now as we record this. Lindsay, who do we have?
This is brand new information. This is brand new, coming in fresh. We have Blair through the air with a scare. Justin, the moose is loose, Musso. Benjamin, the bat and burly curly.
And that's just the start. If you want this special shout out on the show, just let us know that you're a member on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or our Discord pages. So you join, support us. It's MaximumFun.org/join. You click that box, check it for Tights and Fights. That's how you make sure that they know you listen to our show and we sent you. And we're going to have more on membership later on in the show. But remember, once again, MaximumFun.org/join is where you make all of this happen. All of your dreams can come true. Okay, now we can get back to the show.
And that reminds me, Mark, are you recording on your local?
Oh, yeah. Let me... okay, I'm rolling local now.
Rolling local, rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling.
I like rolling local, man. That's how I do. What am I going to drink? National brand beer? Hell no. If I'm in Chicago, it's Goose Island.
Is that the local?
Chicago's local is Goose Island, yeah.
What, is there a Goose Island off of, like in Lake Michigan or something?
Honestly, I don't know where the name came from. But now, if there is a Goose Island, I want to go.
Are you aware of Steve Austin's line? You're a beer drinker. Not like you're a, like constantly like doing flights at a pub.
So, right. So Mark, you're a beer drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you say beer drinker like a someone who's never tried a joint before talking about marijuana. Yeah. Like, are you like the drugs?
Yeah. So yeah. Mark, I hear you enjoy heroin.
Do you do pot?
Like, yeah. It's exactly the same level. Exactly. The same.
Yeah.
So Mark, you do beer. Are you familiar with Stone Cold's brand of IPAs?
Wait, I'm sorry. Stone IPA is owned by Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No, Steve Austin has a collaboration. Not with Stone, which is what's so weird.
That is jarring. Yeah. Is this collaboration with Cold Stone?
No.
And do they have an IPA?
It's with El Segundo, but it is an IPA.
Ooh.
Yeah. But there's also an American lager now. But yeah, there is an IPA and an American lager. But he really did... I mean, he didn't drop the ball. The two breweries that were better suited to his name dropped the ball, realistically.
Stone.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's local. He's in California, too. So.
Is he?
Or at least
does it have like rattlesnake venom in it or something? Is there
on the understanding that you will never follow up on this conversation. Yes, there is.
Yes, there is. Well, you know what? If I do and I try it and there's not rattlesnake venom in there, I'm coming back on here. I'm very upset.
Well, you take your beer and your heroin and you think about yourself before you start making statements like that.
Oh, God. Now you sound like my mom when I graduated. You take your beer and your heroin and you think about yourself.
It's all I've ever wanted. This is working out great. Thanks for bringing your friend.
Really can't believe you got us in the same room. Now, where's Danielle?
She knew better than to be here. So this show, we started this show in the summer of 2016. But you and I started We Got This in March of 2015 off of the heels of Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah.
And we joined Maximum Fun 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a part of this network for 8 years.
Yeah, we
now
have.
I've been doubling up for 7. What are some memories, just to get in the Max Fun Drive before we hop into the wrestling stuff? Are there like specific memories you have of either Max Fun like meetups or just any like exchanges you had with listeners or anything that are sort of fond memories of being a part of Max Fun over the years?
Yeah, well, I'll give you one with a listener that we met, and I'll give you one. You know this story, Hal, but one that was Max Fun specific. The most fun I ever had with Max Fun was there was a show quiz game thing that was happening at a pub. Now back to beer. I really do sound like I have a problem. At a brewery downtown. This was a few years ago. And it was a real blast. And I got to get up on stage with, we were playing some quiz game, but it was Janet Varney and Dave Holmes was up there. And it was just like all these really fun people. So yeah, Angel City, that's it. It was just a great time and with a great group of people. And it was one of those moments when I look around and I go, everybody here is a special person. It takes a special person to be a part of this team. And I felt honored and blessed to get to hang out at the cool kids table that was this Max Fun party. As far as seeing fans and people that listen to the show goes, you and I were at a con once. Do you remember this? We were at a convention, and I think it was maybe Pensacon. We had our signing table, and a woman came up to us and said that she listened to We Got This and enjoyed our judgments that we made on the show. And we got to chatting and we were like, that's really great. Thank you for listening. So tell us about yourself. And she's like, well, I'm a federal judge.
Right.
So that moment was one of those like, whoa, that I don't know why that took me so aback that like a judge whose job she's been appointed to adjudicate things came up to us and was like, you know what? You guys are right about Star Trek versus Star Wars. Like, that made me very happy. Yeah. But I'm very glad that it's Max Fun Drive, and I love Max Fun Drive, and it's always a great time of year. The gifts are all fun. The camaraderie that comes with it's really fun. I mean, it's no holiday season when we get those caramel-coated marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite Christmas gift every year.
Do you want some?
I do. Do you have some?
I might have some. I might have a couple of years worth.
I love those
But
things.
Let me know.
What do you have, a seller?
I sell on the second-hand market. They go hot on the resale market.
People go nuts for the
Majescas. They will just end my teeth. They will destroy my teeth. Can't do it.
Sensitive
British teeth. Yeah, these are British teeth. You can't be going around putting caramel-covered marshmallows on these. They'll just dissolve. Like, it's not okay.
Lindsay, this is covered in last week's episode of We Got This, but Mark and I spent the evening trying Walker's Crisps and determining what the best flavor was.
If only I'd known.
We had the prawn cocktail, the cheese and onions.
Which nearly made Hal retch.
The prawn cocktail?
I smelled it and almost threw up. Then I ate it. And it was so bad. And I kept going back to the bag to smell it again to be like, there's no way this is, like, clearly it's the Ozempic and it's not what I'm smelling in this bag. It was nausea-inducing. Then there was the salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
MVP.
Roast chicken.
Okay.
Then the shake, the salt and shake.
Nice.
Or whatever.
Ready salted.
And then the very salted, that one.
Ready salted.
That the ready,
they
ready
are
salted.
Very salted, but ready salted.
Ready salted.
Very salted.
Yeah.
My husband will literally devour the party bag. It's as though they're a regular size bag. Like, they can't be in the house because if he just knows that they're here, it's game over.
Well, now we have to try
so
that one.
So good. Yeah.
There's a British store in Tarzana that I'm thinking of going to try to get the flavor that I like.
The prawn cocktail that you loved so much.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that, and then I'm just going to purge for the rest of my life.
I'll bring you some skips back next time I go to England, which is like a corn snack prawn cocktail flavored that kind of dissolves on your tongue. You'll love that.
Yeah, get that for Hal. Yeah. And can I place an order for some hula hoops? Those are my favorite.
Oh, I have those. So, like, of again, course. When I send you the caramel marshmallows, I'll send you some
perfect.
Hula hoops.
Perfect. Just shove a hula hoop into the middle of each one of them, making like a little cannoli.
Yeah, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Right?
Anyway, support us during Max Fun Drive. It's like the slobbers forming, but the bad kind.
Sure.
Mark, tell us about your experience with wrestling, because you did watch in like specific era. We were roughly the same age, yeah. So you were obviously aware of it when it blew up. But was there a time when you were watching it a little more intently?
I watched it a little bit late high school because I had some buddies who were super into it. And then my sophomore year of college, my roommate was a huge wrestling fan. Wrestling was on a lot that year. Sadly, it was the year that Owen Hart died. Mm-hmm. So that was the era of Triple H and Kane and X-Pac teaming up, and Stone Cold was around then. And so it was that sort of that era of, I guess, like
the Attitude
era. Attitude. Yeah. Late Attitude era. It was always fun. I never really stuck with it, with the whole soap opera of it. But I enjoy watching the matches that I watch, and revisiting a lot of the matches for the conversation we're going to have today was a lot of fun to go back and remember, like, oh my God, I remember these guys, like watching Stone Cold. And I also knew it because I'm a big Andy Kaufman fan. So watching the debut of The Rock when he comes out as Rocky Maivia and he's fighting against Jerry the King Lawler. And I was like, didn't Lawler wrestle in the 70s? Like, how old is this guy? And then Iron Sheik is out there, who is an amazing Twitter follow. If you ever still use Twitter, he's the reason to stay on there. I'll tell you this. Most of the ones now I've never heard of.
Well, just know that they're basically all related to The Rock, and then you're golden.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So as long as you're down with The Rock, you're totally okay with the entire top tier of belt holders.
No kidding. In
wrestling. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm kind of surprised. You know, what I think about, because you're a theater kid, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Famously since childhood.
Yeah.
Child star.
A star is loose, my friend. Star is loose.
You were a loose star when you were a child. Yeah, and
I was.
I'm surprised that like the theatrical, because there is like a pantomime or children's, like especially children's theater.
Mm-hmm.
It has that aspect to it where the audience is expected to get involved and there's some overacting, but also the stories and the morals and the conflicts are familiar and just sort of rotated, which is sort of what wrestling is. And I'm surprised that hasn't hooked you in. Did you find watching some of this, particularly the matches, did you find yourself being sort of pulled into the story of it, or
did
any of that sort of resonate with you?
I love the story of it, which is why I think, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, but I think that the John Cena, The Rock match is so good. But as a kid, I had a weird relationship with wrestling because I was confused by it. Because when you grow up in Knoxville, Tennessee, with a bunch of kids who are wrestling fans, and nobody in my family watched wrestling, so all of my experience with wrestling came from my peers as a child. For some reason, all of my peers as a child were convinced in the actual sport of the non-performance, actual, factual, non-fiction that was professional wrestling. So I had this weird disconnect from it where I was like, guys, I think this might not all be real. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And I was like, okay, maybe I'm the odd man out. But okay, I guess this is real. So something didn't ring true about it. But all of my friends told me that what I was watching was absolutely factually accurate.
Was it your theater kid senses tingling? Was that what it
yes,
was?
Yes, exactly.
You saw one of your own.
My jazz hands started jazzing.
You know, real respect's real.
Yeah, real respect, real. Exactly.
Why did I see Steve Austin warming up in the back by saying 1, 2, 3 several times in a row?
Hum, 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 hum,
red leather, yellow leather, red leather.
Zip, zap, zop. Everybody get in a circle. In honor of the era of wrestling that you watched, we're going to spend the entirety of this episode discussing one of the biggest stars of all time in wrestling and one of the biggest, arguably the biggest breakout star outside of wrestling, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Woo-hoo. Finally, The Rock has come back! finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
We're going to start with the bulk of his career before he took 7 years off from wrestling. Mm-hmm. When I came to him, it was like early 2000. This is a repeating cycle, Mark, for a lot of wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So he's legitimately a third generation superstar. His yeah. father, Rocky Johnson, was a tag champion. And his grandfather on his mother's side, the High Chief Peter Maivia, is like a legendary figure in wrestling. Mm-hmm. So his name, Rocky Maivia, comes from his dad and his grandfather.
Right.
So when they brought him in, and he was Flex Cavana in the developmental, but that didn't
That was
take
in
off.
The Lawler wrestling, right?
Yes, in the Lawler promotion, yeah. where like the basically their farm system.
Flex so Cavana sounds like somebody who would be an NXT wrestler today, to be honest.
I'm surprised they haven't recycled the name. They should just call his daughter is now wrestling.
No kidding.
In NXT, and it's not Flex Cavana, which feels
Flex Cavana also sounds like a G.I. Joe.
I'm also worried that it's like Colt Cabana's arch nemesis. Like his mirrored universe opponent. Like this is
just Colt with a goatee.
Yeah.
Sure. But they bring him in as this massive baby face good guy. Mm-hmm. And they call him, that's why you hear Jim Ross say the blue chipper. Like he called him the blue chipper over and over again. They push him to win the IC title. Everything is just sort of like the standard. I'm a good guy and I'm going to get in there and do my best. And the crowd hated him. Mm-hmm. They could not stand him. They started the die Rocky die chants. He gets injured, and when he goes away, he comes back as a heel,
right.
joins the Nation of Domination, and then becomes one of the biggest stars in the company.
I got three words. Die, Rocky, die. That's the gratitude I get from you pieces of crap for all my blood, my sweat, and my tears.
By and large, people will identify with a villain before they identify with a good guy, because I think they earn their path back to being a babyface. And also you get better, like even from people who we've talked about over the years, Lindsay, who were like not the best promo when they were a babyface, became a heel. I'm looking at you, Bailey. And then became like, she's so good on the microphone now. It's crazy.
Well, heels are so much more fun, right?
Right, exactly. Sorry. I think yes. people have fun with it. Yeah, it's like, and it is like you say, I mean, you mentioned it already, pantomime. Pantomime is just so, it's the exact same thing. Like you just yeah. want a reaction, and it is so much more difficult in a panto to get a reaction for the good guy and for the hero than it is for the villain. Because with the, you know, you want to do the, we hate you, boo. It's so cathartic to shout, and you can all get behind a villain. Everyone knows what makes a bad guy a bad guy. What makes a good mm-hmm. guy a good guy is less of a defined thing.
What happens in wrestling when a heel becomes super popular, though? Like, The Rock got crazy popular, and then was the crowd still booing him as a heel?
The beautiful thing that happens, and the same thing happened with Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. He was a heel initially. That character was a heel. He wrestled Bret Hart, who was the biggest face the company had at the yeah. time. But what happens over the course of time, especially with The Rock, is he's so cool. He becomes the cool heel. Yeah. And people start cheering him. And they kind of turn him face. He can become a baby face without losing all of the things that made him a great heel.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you have this depth of flavor to your good guy where like he's not going to be like super kind to everybody. He's going to have a problem. He'll just as likely have a problem with another good guy as he will with a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's just as amusing and hurls similar insults. It's just a question of who the target is. I think the biggest change is like the babyface version won't trash the town they're in. So he yeah. does finally The Rock has come back to
Sacramento.
Has come back home, which he does every time he returns. But yeah, the heel version of The Rock where he was doing the Rock concerts, mm-hmm. he talks about how he can't wait to leave.
The Rock feels so good. He's so happy. Why? Because The Rock is right here in Sacramento.
Oh! Sacramento. He's sucking up the crowd now.
I tell you what, the absolute best part about being here in Sacramento is in about an hour and a half, The Rock is gonna leave Sacramento.
But normally he would leave it at Sacramento. You saw the cheer that he got when he said that. That's like enough that he's a babyface and they're behind him and he's hilarious.
Yeah. That first Rocky Maivia match, it's so funny to see him as the babyface good guy, but also to see the hilarious tag team of Goldust and The Undertaker. Because that was one of those like, oh, some young rock. Oh, also, I forgot about these clowns.
And clown, well, at least one of them remains a clown to this day. So, if not so. Yeah, oh, we, you know, Undertaker loves to put on a red nose and go about his daily business, does Mark?
Oh, my God.
That's a chat for another day.
Oh, no.
The poor personal choices of The Undertaker. Oh. That will be a special edition episode on next year's Max Von Drive.
Holy shit, I would read that book if you wrote it.
Just in time for January 6th.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
We're not saying he gave Nancy Pelosi's office chair a tombstone pile driver, but we're not denying that it could have happened. Oh, it's not outside of the realm of possibility of things that could happen. Here's a question for both of you. Mm-hmm. At the point where Rock, in that like 99 era, even into 2000, before he does The Scorpion King, which is his first big movie role, at that point, wrestlers doing movies was limited to Hulk Hogan, where pretty much everything he made was a failure, and Roddy Piper, where all of his success, the two movies he was really successful in, came outside of WWE, like had nothing to do with it. Was there any sense either of you had that The Rock was somebody who could be a movie star?
So I wasn't watching at this time, which is what's always so weird for me. Like so much of this core Attitude Era and the 2000s when we talk about it, like I was not watching at all. So I missed the whole of The Rock. Like I missed the whole thing in wrestling. So my first experience, and much like Batista we talked about a few weeks ago, I was like, I missed it. Didn't see it. Don't know. It's that fella from the films. And The Rock was broadly the same thing for me. Like I saw him in films before I saw him working, like before I saw the wrestling. And I saw the Scorpion King. And now I am friends with the person who played the Scorpion King because he is a friend of a friend. And yet still, I cannot sit here and look you all in the eye and say, what a great movie. Everyone there was destined for fame and fortune. Because it's not good, is it? It's not a good film.
I thought he had more charisma as a wrestler. Like, I think I could look at young, like the People's Elbow version of The Rock and be like, this guy has legit star power. And then, yeah, like you said, the Scorpion King comes out and you're like, yeah, he needs a little work. And now he is a brilliant movie star.
Like, he's a blank page. Yeah, it's and it's like, we talk about this in wrestling a lot. And I think there was a great example of it on Raw recently. But the big thing in wrestling is saying when wrestlers don't know who their character is, when they don't know who they are, the viewers can tell. And that's when it's really hard for the viewers to get behind a character who doesn't know who they are. And when I and I did go back and watch Scorpion King, it was on telly and I left it on. I was watching it and that's how I felt about him as an actor in that movie. I'm like, I don't think he believes it in that film. I don't think he believes in himself. Versus when you watch him now, when he is extraordinarily filled with self-belief against all, you know, odds and defying whether or not he should be. But when you watch that movie, he just doesn't feel to me like he's buying into his own story there.
But it is shape, it was shape and size based, right? So like at the time you go, well, he's a wrestler, so even if he's good at wrestling, here he is, big muscle guy who plays monster, and then we're gonna make him this sort of basic nondescript action star, which is what he is in Scorpion King. Mummy Returns is the majority of it is CGI, like the version of him that you see to see him. I wonder, Mark, if you're if your jazz hand tingle went off, there's something from a technical sense. Acting is like being able to manipulate your face and your voice and body together to make people believe or to, you know, to convey some information or a feeling or some story point. And that's something he had. Like there are wrestlers who are very good on a microphone and yet there's something like their face is kind of dead when they're doing it. They're going through it. Decent voice. Then for a guy like The Rock, there are like little things, whether it's the raise of not even the people's eyebrow, but just the raise of his eyes or just a, like a smirk he gets on his face where you go like he knows he's conveying this entirely and really portraying this character that makes you feel like this could translate somewhere. Was there any sense of that back in 99? Because at that point we're a few years away from him really being anywhere outside of WWF at the time.
I think that he had, and it's interesting you say that because I noticed in watching this John Cena fight that it's cool to watch him learn. You know what I mean? You can see a bit of a learning curve in this because, yeah, in like 99, you know, those early The Rock era things, he is playing to a stadium and he's doing it really well. He plants his feet. He stands, you know what I mean? He like, his physicality is he is playing to a stadium of 70,000 people and he knows what his body needs to do sort of instinctively in that. And I guess in watching it, I wonder if he forgot in the moment that there were cameras on him. You know what I mean? He spends so much time in these big arenas playing to that size room. And to watch him play to that size room, he's really good and solid at it and commanding of it. And then I watched this fight between him and Cena where he spent some time in front of a camera and knows how to bring it down. So there are these moments where he's playing really big, but also when he's on the ground in that fight, and Cena does the same thing, because these are guys that have gone from only knowing a stadium and having to play to the back of the house in a stadium to working primarily in front of a camera. So, you know, Dwayne Johnson, the actor, is also there in the ring in that fight, I think, for the first time. Or is the first time that I had seen that, which I thought was really cool to see.
That's a great observation. And I remember at the time when he started making movies being like, they need him here in WWF because he was so valuable to the roster at the time.
Yeah.
And when he was filming was during the birth of the invasion angle after they had bought WCW, which was a colossal failure on a number of different levels.
Not a Nitro guy?
No, I was not a Nitro guy, surprisingly. So there was like a part of me, not that I wanted him to fail, but was like, all right, I'm glad he did Mummy Returns. Scorpion King wasn't great. Now he can come back and do what he does so well at a time when the company needs him because people are hurt and he provides so much value. But then he left, and I think his next movie was The Rundown, which was way better. Like, they figured out how to make, like, he makes really good Dwayne Johnson movies.
Yeah.
I would contend, and I feel like we've debated this before, Lindsay, right? Mm-hmm. That I think John Cena is a better actor than,
yeah.
I think he's the best actor to have come out. And it was more comparing that to Batista, who is also a spectacular actor.
He's definitely a better actor than The Rock, I would say, easily.
Yeah.
I'm watching, I mean, I watched everything that Cena has done, I want to say, even from when he did that sort of cameo in Trainwreck. Which he was great in that, and then to move on to Blockers, which he was fantastic in Blockers.
Yeah.
And
he's definitely funnier.
He's definitely funnier, but what really blew me away was the Peacemaker series, even more so than the movie, because the nuance he brings to that role, it could so easily just be a blunt object of a character, you know, because it is just, I'm a big guy who kills things, and you know, he's Peacemaker. He's covered in the flag. He has an eagle called Eagly is his best friend. You know, it should be dumb and it should be just very one-dimensional. And what he was able to bring to it just with his physicality, not even with speaking a lot of the time, like just his expressions and his mood and the way he could turn the mood of a scene just by being in it. It really shocked me.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's because he knows he's, I mean, he's a WWE champ. He's a movie star. He's a good actor. Do you think it's because he doesn't have anything to prove? You know what
I mean? It's because John Cena is a psychopath who is just so determined to be the best at every single thing that he does. He will risk anything and everything to get to that.
John Cena will change things around. He will advance his career by doing something small and cool and interesting. And The Rock will advance his career by this time kicking a torpedo out of the way.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. John Cena, you know, don't wear your shoes in the cigar room and don't upset John Cena. But also, he's not going to be fighting a giant CGI ape in his next film. Although, it says the lady who loves Rampage. Love that movie. Saw
Rampage was great.
Great film. Saw it on a plane. Happiest I've ever been.
I have a friend who was in Rampage.
Fantastic.
So now it's very odd to every once in a while on Instagram, you know, you scroll through and you see like your buddy's pictures and then your buddy's buddies comment on them and like, looking good, man. I'm like, did The Rock just comment looking good, man, on your picture? Like, what is happening here?
Love it.
You have a weird life.
going back to The Rock and going back to the Attitude Era, Mark, mm-hmm. do you have favorite memories of him? Like just moments that you really enjoyed from when you were watching in 99, like 98, 99.
For me, it was more just, I liked his swagger. I liked his people's elbow. I liked the people's eyebrow. I liked you smell what The Rock is cooking. I liked all the, you know, everything. His, that attitude, once he came out of his shell, was so much fun. Yeah, my roommate and I, we would people's elbow each other all the time.
But can you do the eyebrow? That's the question. Oh, there we go. It's a podcast. It helps no one. But he's definitely doing it, friends. He's definitely doing it.
I did do the eyebrow.
He did it. One of the things I remember, I mean, my favorite Rock feud, outside of Triple H, because the two of them feuded for years mm-hmm. and always had great chemistry with one another, that maintains to this day when they've appeared at WrestleMania as like the two guys that are barely ever there, but they're going to do a segment to get people excited. Right. Like it still fits like a glove. One is his feud with Chris Jericho in the fall of 2001 is just fantastic. Jericho is probably still my favorite in-ring performer of all time,
really?
Regardless of how I feel about him outside of a ring. And that was a feud that helped make him and take him to a main event, a consistent main event level. But you know, the way it works in wrestling is you have to have someone who helps make you and really take you to a main event level. And the guy who did that for The Rock, which he did for a number of other people, including Triple H, was Mick Foley. So The Rock and Mick Foley feuded and traded the world title back and forth a bunch of times mm-hmm. in advance of The Rock facing Austin, which was going to be the big money match. So not only did they have those crazy matches, including The Rock hitting Mick Foley in the head with a chair like 20 times while Mick Foley's hands were handcuffed behind his back. If you've never seen Beyond the Mat, you can see him actually come out backstage and his wife with the doctors going like, ask him, like she starts asking him like, where do we live? What's our address? To make sure he doesn't have another concussion. But that blossomed into them becoming a tag team in the fall of 1999, that being the Rock and Sock Connection.
Amazing.
Where you get the cool Rock who can't stand Mick Foley, who just wants to be cool enough to hang out with him, and you get the This Is Your Life segment, which is this whole crazy thing where he's brought out Yerple the Clown and The Rock's teacher who he hated.
Is he playing Mankind at this point?
He's Mankind at this point.
Because he's Socko, yeah.
Yeah, he has Socko, and he brings out all this stuff to celebrate his birthday, and then the blow for the whole thing is that it's not actually The Rock's birthday.
Naturally, The Rock is appreciative to all of his fans, but to you, The Rock's birthday is May 2nd, you stupid son of a b-.
Ah! It screwed up again.
5-6 months, you know.
I know that, Rock. It's just that for some reason, every day I get to spend a little time with you feels like somebody's birthday.
For years was the highest rated segment in Raw history. I think, is it still? Something supplanted it, I think.
And this is when WWE's ratings in general were much larger than they are right now.
Yeah.
So it was like it stood out on a time when they were probably as popular as I think they ever were or perhaps ever will be, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of TV time.
A non-wrestling segment just like everybody was watching riveted. That's how good it was. He goes and makes these movies and like, you know, the crowd, you don't like to lose people. I didn't like losing The Rock to film. I resented that in a way. So when he returned, he came back as Hollywood Rock and became a heel who was too good to be part of wrestling anymore because he was now a star. And we got those Rock concerts where he would come out and play and you watched that. You watched him come out and do a whole Rock concert. What did you think of that version of the character? Good.
The Rock's not going to take long. Hold on. I got to take care of some business real quick. Judge, do the Rock fake. Keep it down a little bit. Yeah. Oh, well, hell yeah. Yeah, the Rock is going to fly out tonight. What do you think? The Rock is going to spend one more night surrounded by all these hicks? Yeah. No, wait. Hold on.
It reminded me of Andy Kaufman. I'm from Hollywood. Like, if there's one thing that a wrestling audience is going to hate, it's a Hollywood douchebag telling you how much better they are than you because they're from Hollywood. Yeah. So for him to play that angle is so, so funny.
They changed his whole presentation too. He went from the track pants and the t-shirt with the sleeves cut off to leather vest, sunglasses, like different sunglasses, like a grated tint sunglasses, pants, like dress pants. And even his...
Hold on a second though, Hal. Yes. Those were leather dress pants.
Sorry, leather dress pants.
Yeah.
His finest leather suit pants.
Yeah.
And
from his finest leather suit.
Yeah, from the finest, you wear your finest leather suit when you're coming to the ring. And they also slowed down his entrance music.
Yeah.
So it became like a little grating because it used to have such energy. And now it was like, just get in the ring and say what you're going to say, you piece of shit.
I was going to ask, you guys watch a lot of wrestling. Uh-huh. Does everyone take that long to get into the ring?
Some take longer. See,
some
Undertaker.
Take so long.
It is crazy how long The Rock takes to get into the ring.
Some of them are related to The Rock and they take that long to get to the
ring.
That's
fair.
Yeah. It's never a face move. You know, it's never something a baby face does. It's always a heel move.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Goldberg comes and goes, but... nothing sets you up for hating someone more than be like, just get in the fucking ring, please. We've got things to do. We've got places to be. I could have used the bathroom if they'd told me this was going to go on. Bray Wyatt, it's been 5 minutes. It's a real shortcut to a heel turn. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Undertaker, Triple H, both take forever. You could take an over-under bet on how long it will take them to get to the ring in different WrestleManias, and it's... like 5 minutes is a safe standard to set until they're like fully in the ring and ready to wrestle.
Yeah.
He went away for a while, made some movies, came back at WrestleMania 20. And that was the last time he had a match for a long time. That match reunited him with Mick Foley, the Rock and Sock connection against Evolution. They lost. The Rock had a goatee. It was weird. The Rock with a goatee never.
The Rock with a goatee lost, is weird. But...
yeah, I think he was doing Be Cool at the time. That must have been why.
Was it a? What, but he only ever had like the length that my stubble is now was as long as his goatee. Or did he ever grow like a full on like?
Not like Ming big, the Merciless, but he had like,
not like Ming. But
it was
like...
pronounced. It was pronounced. It was too much.
All right.
It was like, please stop this. Don't do it.
Because there's like the one in one of these matches, it looks like the goatee that you have when you're going to have a goatee for a day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you could not commit and rub it off.
Yeah,
rub it
exactly.
Off if you were vigorous enough.
Yeah, right.
There's no need to take a blade to the face.
No.
Like we could just spit wash this.
You could do it with a dish sponge, would get rid of that goatee.
It's like anytime you shave a beard and you start like, I'm just going to shave these and do the long sideburns and the goatee. Now the sideburns are gone. I might do just the mustache off and do that soul patch. Then it's gone. Like, it looked like he was on that.
I go Civil War when I do that. Yeah. I like to go, I go General Burnside. So I have the mustache and then down up into the sideburns.
Oh yeah. Like Triple H did for a while. He did that that was just his thing for a while. Yeah. Like
all right,
he did a Lemmy. He did a little Lemmy for a while.
That's right, Motorhead. He had the so good.
The full, yeah. So during that absence when he was gone, it was weird not having him there, but it also that vacuum allows you to create new stars. That's when you get the rise of Batista, Randy Orton, John Cena notably. And there's a vacuum created when you lose that big a star. But this wouldn't be the end of our time with The Rock. And if you have any thoughts on what you've heard so far about The Rock in the Attitude Era and his early film work, you can tell us about them in our Facebook group and find us on all the other socials via the links in the show notes. When we come back, we are talking all about the latest era of The Rock in wrestling. But first, we're going to take a minute to talk about Max Fun Drive.
It's finally time for Max Fun Drive.
Yes, it is. This is the ultimate compliment on the road to Ice Cream Christmas. It's like the biggest event in wrestling plus the biggest event in podcasting happening within mere weeks of one another.
I love it when a plan comes together. Isn't it beautiful when there are just synchronicities in life like this? Just two magical moments coming together to celebrate everything that we
want. And you know what? I want to wager and say something. I think this is even bigger than WrestleMania. Here's why. Because this is the one time of the year that we ask you for a little bit of money in return for us making this show, instead of a lot of money to sit far away and see a bunch of what look like thumbs fighting each other. That's what you're seeing. If you didn't already know, if you're new to Tights and Fights, if you weren't here the last time we did a drive, this is a listener-funded podcast and a network that exists because listeners like you decided you want it to exist. So your support is integral to making sure that we keep putting out this show week after week.
Well, literally, we are only here because of your kindness and goodwill and, let's be honest, money. So if you would like to send us a tiny little bit of that money, the website you need to go to right now is MaximumFun.org/join. And for as little as $5 a month, you have a direct hand in making this podcast happen. And what's more, you get our undying love, and that means love from all of us, even if Danielle isn't here because she broke her arm or possibly her back at WrestleMania. It's hard to say.
And she did that for you. You want to know the other great thing if you missed Danielle this week? If you're a Max Fun member, even at the $5 a month level, you get access to this year's bonus content, which she is most certainly a huge part of. We all watched the Marine 6 Close Quarters and recorded a commentary track so that you can listen along as you watch the movie. Not only that, but you get all of our bonus content from all of the years that we've been around, even if it's your first year as a member. You get like this treasure trove, not only of us, but every piece of bonus content that was ever created in Max Fun in the known universe, or will be created. Who knows? We can't predict the future. But again, Marine 6, let me just break down the Marine 6 for you.
I mean, if anything was going to make me give you $5, Hal, it would be what you're about to pitch right now.
Luke Trapper, Veteran Affairs. Oh, how noble of you. Jake Carter, EMT. Oh, and would you look at that? Both of you are soldiers. How cute.
Marines.
Marines! Is that why you're out here kicking down doors? Trying to relive your glory days?
Something like that.
Well, you jumped the gun on this one, didn't you, chap?
Here are the four things.
I believe
I'm going to give you the four stars. If you're making a movie poster, these are the names. We got The Miz. We got Shawn Michaels. We got Becky Lynch. And a raccoon.
An actual raccoon. And I don't know if you know this, Hal, but I actually looked on his IMDb, mm-hmm. and I think you'll find it is the same raccoon from the Oscar-winning movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. So what's really nice is if you pay these $5 and listen to this bonus content, you can see how his career has developed alongside our career if you go back and listen to our previous bonus content. And whether or not that's actually true, I think that's a really lovely thing that you could do with your time and your money.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the money, and I want to put it in context for a second. So if you're subscribed to Netflix, which keeps canceling all of your favorite shows, or HBO, which is burning all of your favorite legacy content, Amazon Prime, which regularly raises its prices, you can think of the $5 a month that is a contribution to this show as something to feel good about. And we're not going to do any of those scummy things because we actually value you and we love to make this show. We're not here out for a profit. We're here to continue to make this show. And it's only through your support that that happens.
We currently have no plans to jettison episodes in order for a tax break. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that will ever happen because I don't think there are any tax breaks for us. But if you would like to support us, it really would mean the world. MaximumFun.org/join. We will be back later to talk even more about the great gifts that you get as a member in the name of Tights and Fights. So go check out that website now. Go, go, go.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk
and
Mark Agliardi. That's right.
Let's talk about what The Rock has been up to since he acknowledged wrestling once again, because, you know, he sort of gave it the hand for a little while. He came back and the plan was to set up a multi-year feud against John Cena. And it was literally the biggest money match in the history of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You got to see him return to host and you got to see him wrestle John Cena and beat him at WrestleMania. What was your impression of this version that we got of The Rock versus what you remember from being a kid?
This version of the whole match, I think, was different than what I was used to because, I mean, starting with the fact that they begin the match just grappling.
And Cena with the power to start, sending a message.
it felt like two seasoned actors doing a thing rather than two WWE guys doing a thing, where in the past, you know, I would see, because I was an X-Pac fan, so, you know, I liked watching people fly off of ropes and, you know, Mankind jumping onto thumbtacks and like all kinds of just crazy antics. This just felt like two trucks who had a feud with one another, who two Shakespearean trained trucks just locking horns. I realize I'm mixing all kinds of metaphors here.
What's interesting is neither of those guys is known for having a huge repertoire of moves that they rely on throughout a match. Like,
yeah.
Cena has like the five moves of doom. The Rock is not known for much more variety in what he does. But what makes them popular outside of them both being outstanding on a microphone is their ability to physically tell a story within the ring. And you don't need a ton of different moves to do that. You can do it with the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
The bare minimum amount of variety. They did that well.
And there's the Rock! Yeah, rock bottom! Rock bottom! Rock bottom! The Rock has beaten John Cena!
Lindsay, you were watching during this time.
Yes, I was back.
What was your feeling on The Rock coming back and... Really, like, when a guy like that comes in, they're taking somebody's spot, right?
It's so weird. I could hear people, like, stopping their cars in traffic. I didn't care. That was the thing. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, he came in and took the belt off Punk, and I came back in with Punk, and Punk was my boy. And people may know this listening at home. Noted young lady Lindsay Kalk was a big fan of Phil. I didn't know our relationship with Sour like so much spoiled milk 10 years on. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess this fella's going to win because he's a big star and he's going to take the belt from Punk. And now I have to watch. And I did not care for Cena at this time at all. I did not enjoy Cena. He was very much the hustle, loyalty, respect, primary colors, kid's favorite. And I was a spiteful living in Brooklyn shithead that was like, I hate things people like. But then I did get to see their rematch in 2013 at WrestleMania in New York. And again, that is like not something I remember about that WrestleMania, like even having been there.
Yeah, it like didn't need the belt.
No.
Like they felt like they used it as an excuse to get the belt off of Punk and onto Cena without the two of them wrestling because they'd been there and done that. I don't know how much you know about Punk's run in WWE, Mark, but he reached a point in the summer of 2011, I think it was, where his contract was legitimately expiring and he felt disrespected by the company, and he cut a promo, which was of course approved. They can turn your mic off anytime.
Yeah.
Called the Pipe Bomb, where he basically aired all of his grievances.
Trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year, and I'm not, makes me sick.
I'll give you an example of acting, and I watched in the moment I was watching this, and it seemed to me like an example of what I was talking about before, watching John Cena and The Rock, who are more seasoned actors, having their fight, and then watching The Rock versus Punk, and when Punk steals the belt and is leaving with it, he looks like he's doing one of those old melodramas where they've like, like tied someone to the railroad tracks. He looked like the Hamburglar.
Yeah,
like who are you sneaking away from? You're on television and in a stadium. He's like sneaking away and all like dun 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 dun. And you're like, what are you trying to pull here? Like, I don't know. I just didn't believe his acting so much. I was not just in that little bit that I saw of him, I was not really much of a Punk fan.
Entirely fair. If you're basing it on his acting, that's entirely fair.
Yeah.
Which you can also see.
It's funny Mark says that because at the time, Punk was adamant that he was just as good, if not better, than John Cena and The Rock. Mm-hmm. And part of wrestling is talking yourself up, so maybe part of it was just him speaking it into existence. But he was very adamant that I deserve to be everything that John Cena is and better and blah, 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 blah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out quite so well so far.
Yeah.
But The Rock was a bigger star than him. always has been, probably always will be. It doesn't mean there aren't a lot of huge Punk fans and that Punk wasn't wildly successful. But, you know, The Rock is The Rock. He is who he is in the history of WWE. So in that way, I think fans were willing to accept him winning the title because he'd already won it so many times before. Like, all right, this is a guy who can take it. And he ended like a 434-day reign, which is a huge deal. Like, people, for a long time, people didn't hold the title for that long. When we were kids, it was like years. You would hold a belt for years.
Yeah.
By the Attitude Era, when you were watching, it could be like 3 weeks.
Oh, sure. It was getting passed around like the crown in a Shakespeare play.
Yes, that is the perfect simile for what was happening. In the time that The Rock left, that was the Rock's last like real proper match.
Mm-hmm.
In the time that he left, his cousin, Joe, who is known as Roman Reigns in WWE,
right,
has ascended to become the face of the company. You saw him in Hobbs versus Shaw after we watched all those Fast and Furious movies. You watched a very interesting promo from the 2015 Royal Rumble, which took place in my hometown of Philadelphia.
Did you guys only send that to me because The Rock says nice things about Philadelphia?
Yeah, of course. Well, he knows that he won't make it out alive if he doesn't.
Who can you count on? Blood. The blood running through these veins. Family. Family.
It's family, man. It's family first. Look, I came to Philadelphia because I wanted to watch my family compete in the Royal Rumble. I came to Philadelphia because WWE is my family. I wanted to watch the Royal Rumble. I came to Philadelphia. I went down. I came to Philadelphia. It's a city known for two things, two kinds of cheeses, cream and steak.
Lindsay, does he talk as much about Philadelphia with you as he does with me?
I our listeners will know this, Mark, but I am contractually forbidden from mentioning the city or any of its sports teams on this podcast.
Really?
Due to my disparaging comments regarding the denizens of such a city and whether or not they might eat the feces of four-legged animals.
You're skating real close to that crack.
Wow.
This is a heavy responsibility I bear.
I'm sorry you've been forbidden to talk about Philadelphia sucking.
It's tough. It's tough. I do like the mascots, so it is quite hard.
Sure.
See, look, it's your time will come, Lindsay.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Grizzy is great.
Don't
Grizzy?
Oh my God! Don't add to your sentence, Lindsay. Is what I'm saying.
I right now am a personification of the Homer Simpson gif of patting on the sofa for Mark. Come sit with me. Come sit with me, Mark. Come over here. It's nice where I am. It's not Philadelphia, but it's nice.
Where Roman Reigns is in that interview segment is similar to where The Rock was when he first entered the company. Mm-hmm. They were pushing Roman Reigns to be the big good guy after being the person in the Shield and the group he had been part of who never really spoke. He was like the big muscle guy. Generally, you create groups or teams in wrestling to create stars. You're hoping they all become stars. If you get one big star, great. All three of those guys became stars, and he was supposed to be the biggest of them all. The crowd did not want him to win that Rumble. They brought The Rock in just so that he wouldn't get booed. And they still booed him.
Wow.
That interview backstage, The Rock is almost like off balance because of what just happened. And he's also having a good time and making Roman laugh.
He's really funny and just like busting the balls of the guy interviewing him, which was great.
Like a great Rock specialty, insulting the interviewer.
It's so good.
Now, what if I told you, Mark, that now, 8 years later, Roman Reigns is not only the biggest star in all of professional wrestling, but has been the centerpiece of what I believe is the greatest story ever told in the history
of
professional wrestling.
Oh.
Yes, he parts the sea.
They do a little segment every week. They do a little Bible story every week. It's cute.
He and has now been world champion for just about 3 years.
Oh,
is like
that's a
the
long
most
reign.
Despicable heel. Took his cousins, the Usos, his real-life cousins, and basically beat them into submission until they, like, followed everything that he's told them to do. He took
He emotionally
Paul
abused
Heyman.
His cousins
he emotionally
until
abused
they
his,
loved
yeah.
him.
This is
basically.
In the story. This is in the storyline. This is not in real
this
life.
Is in, this is in storyline. The three of them grew up together. The Usos are twins. They're, fraternal twins, right? In Wrestling 1, he wins a match against that guy by torturing the other until his cousin Jay submits. Then the two of them become part of the bloodline, as he calls it. He's saying he's now the tribal chief. He's the head of the table. He loves everybody. He doesn't want to have to do what he does to them, but but you know, he's got to maintain his spot.
Oh, this is brutal.
When I make you quit, you will fall in line. You will take orders. You will acknowledge me. You will respect me for who I am in the WWE and all that I do for our family.
Yeah, it's some real sleeping with the enemy shit. It's,
yeah.
You know, you're doing this to yourself. He doesn't want to do this. Geez, you're making him do it. It's very dark. If it weren't so fun. Yeah. It would be really problematic. It would be a real
issue. I guess that's
issue.
All of wrestling, though. If it weren't so fun, it would be problematic.
It's like, if he weren't so handsome and we weren't going, oh, Joe, you know, it would be a real issue. But therein lies the rub of many people's life and choices.
The whole time you're like, well, I know where this is headed. There's one member of the family who's going to have a problem with that, who he's going to have to wrestle. And that's The Rock. And the belief was for a long time that that was going to be the match at WrestleMania this year.
Coming up in April at SoFi.
Like, that was a major disappointment because it felt like just the promos between the two of them would have been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay, how disappointed are you to not have The Rock? Like, this feels like what you'd want The Rock to return for, right?
No. So good news, Al. Not disappointed at all. Don't want him back. Don't care. I just don't care about him as a wrestler. And I don't say that as I don't respect him as a wrestler. I think his work is incredible. I think what he did for the industry is incredible. Obviously, I've gone back and watched it all. You can't not, like, you can't watch it now and not know what he did. It's fantastic. But legitimately, like, just no emotional connection to him being in the ring at all. Which I should talk to my therapist about that because it's not right. He's very good.
Everybody loves The Rock.
Everybody
What's
loves
wrong
The Rock.
With me?
And I love The Rock. It does nothing for me. And I care, like, Hal, I agree with Hal 100%. I think this is the greatest story I've ever seen told in wrestling. I really teetered for a while, being like, is it as good as the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 story? I was there for that. It genuinely remains one of my. Sounds so stupid to people who don't care about wrestling the way we do, but one of the best nights of my life. But this story is better than that. This story means more than that. It is more nuanced. It's more layered. It has so many more angles to it that you can come in from and give a shit. You can't not care about the Bloodline story. And while I 100% agree that once upon a time, The Rock was the answer to this at WrestleMania, it makes perfect sense. LA, Hollywood, they keep talking about being Hollywood. Who's more Hollywood than The Rock? He is their cousin. He is the head of the family. To me now, it would destroy it because I care so much more about everything they've built up. If it had been the plan all along, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I care so much more about the people who are involved in it now. Like, I have always cared more about Sami Zayn than I will ever care about The Rock as a wrestler, you know?
With all of the Dwayne Johnson endeavors happening now, he's got $7 with his ex-wife and current manager and business partner, Danny. When you see his name attached to a project, what is the first thing that comes to your mind, Mark?
Explosions.
Lindsay.
I did enjoy the Terramana tequila. I bought some, so I enjoyed it. I liked it just as much as the other celebrity tequila brands that I've also consumed.
You couldn't get the Zoa as well?
Probably go Casamigos over Terramana.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the Zoa. I'm not an energy drink gal. I like to sleep, and we have hereditary heart problems in my family, so I'm looking to not explode it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I always think that I know I'm going to see the people's eyebrow at some point in the movie. It doesn't matter what the movie is.
Oh, yeah.
You could put him in like a remake of Sense and Sensibility, and he
work,
will
actually.
Find a way to throw that. That's true. If Mr. Darcy, you could just throw the... I feel like the people's eyebrow is somehow like...
Definitely Pride
like
and Prejudice over Sense and Sensibility. He could absolutely rock a Darcy. He could rock a Darcy. He'd make a good Wickham too, actually.
Yeah.
A good Rogue. But I think he'd to be Darcy though.
100% Oh yeah. He's Black Adam. You think he's not going to play Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice?
Just trying to. Black Adam. Can you imagine him in a Mr. Darcy costume?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Bursting
it's
out
great.
Of it.
It's just like all crazy tight, and it's just like button tearing at the seams as it goes down.
Well, they should reuse the one that they had Matthew McFadden wear in the Keira Knightley version. They should just make him rewear the exact same costume and make him fit in it.
That guy is so good.
No, we're just going to talk about Succession. Welcome to a Succession podcast.
Yeah. I know, right?
Hey, buddy.
So good.
If you want to share some thoughts on The Rock, visit us. Or if you want to talk about Matthew McFadden, we like him too. Visit us on any of our social network accounts via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things from wrestling we want to share with you. But first, one more chat about the Max Fun Drive. Lindsay, we're back to talk even more about our beloved Max Fun members. Let's talk more about Monet. Mercedes Monet's coming to the ring with her hyper-color hair. A lot of people know how well I know all of her theme songs, and that Julian wrote that in there with the faith that I would know.
I just really wanted to hear you say Monet.
Okay. Oh, I will never say that in association with her name. You know that. Nice try. Monet.
So close.
Monet. You know what? Speaking of what we want people to say, we like to hear what you have to say. One of the best things about this time of year is getting to hear from listeners who support us. This is Rob from Santa Maria. Go ahead and play that, Julian.
In 2017, I lost in the span of a month my dad and my grandfather. Around that same time, I completely lost interest in some of the things I love most. One of those things was wrestling. When Tyson Fights went on Schmanners, part of a crossover for Max Fun, I think last year or the year before, I kind of had an interest, and I asked my partner, hey, would you be interested in maybe watching some wrestling, trying to get caught up with me? And now, 2 years later, I'm now watching SmackDown and Raw on a weekly basis, as well as tuning in to almost all the pay-per-views, discussing with the Nation of Conversation on Facebook, and looking forward each and every Saturday morning to listening to Tyson Fights. In many ways, gotten me back into a thing I used to love, but even more than that, given me a connection to two men who, growing up, I used to watch with them constantly through the WCW and all through a large swath of time. So, love you guys so much, and thank you.
Yeah, Rob fully made me cry there. So, well done, Rob. This mascara is not waterproof. oh my goodness, thank you so much. Whether you're here for the feels or you're here for the butts and cats and cats and butts, we are here for you. And this love is a two-way street, my friends. It is. Do you like how I segued so that good. From I'm literally crying into please give
smooth
me some
as
money.
LA night. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you something. We're not only giving you the podcast every week. We're not only giving you cats and butts and butts and cats. We're also saying, hey, come follow me down this alleyway into the NXT parking lot and let me open this briefcase and show you some sweet, sweet gifts that we have to give to you in return for your support.
We've already mentioned the amazing bonus content you get at the $5 level, but not only do you get this year's Marine 6 commentary track, but as I mentioned, you get the bonus content that every Max Fun show has ever made, including ours. Here are just a few of the bonus content episodes we put out over the years. One is our Hamilton recasting with wrestlers that was officially Lin-Manuel Miranda approved. I will not show the receipt, but I do have it. We had Janet Varney from the JV Club on, and we introduced her to both wrestling and Cesaro / Claudio Castagnoli, and got her reaction, which was really fun. And then the pilot episode of Tappin' Titles. If you've been listening for a long time, you know what Tappin' Titles is. If you haven't, and you're interested, I don't blame you. Check out the pilot episode of Tappin' Titles only if you become a member at least the $5 level. And there are so many other great bonus episodes, so you've got a ton of great stuff to listen to.
At the $10 a month level, you get, I don't know if you're even ready for this, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but you get a brand new sticker designed by Olivia Fields. These are heavy duty, they are restickable. How wild is that? In the olden days, Hal, in my day, once you stuck a sticker, that was it. It was stuck. But these stickers are restickable. You can change your mind. You can run around willy-nilly putting that sticker down and pulling it back up and putting it somewhere else.
Don't worry. If you're like, what about a championship belt? Don't worry. We got you. It does have a championship belt on it. It is fantastic. One other great thing is that we also offer boosting your membership. So you can't make the full jump from your $10. You can't go to $20. But you can boost it to $11 if you have a little more, maybe $15. You can even boost from the entry level to $6. So every dollar really does make a difference. It means the world to us. And you can find out more at MaximumFun.org/join. That's where you create your membership or where you boost or upgrade your current recurring contribution. We appreciate everything that you've allowed us to do. And the community, again, the community that is built around the show is really, really special.
And I think that is one of my favorite things about the Tights and Fights community is we don't always agree because humans don't, but we are respectful of that. And I think so many fandoms, she says in her Valley Girl, her best Valley Girls, so many fandoms have forgotten how to do that. And especially wrestling fandoms. There are places where I, as a woman, do not feel comfortable. There are places I won't voice my opinion anymore because of how I've been treated and been made to feel. And knowing our listeners are out there and whether we agree with each other or not, but we're listening to every side of it. And I've been so lucky to meet some of our members when I've been on my book tours and when I've been out at wrestling events. And I have had exclusively incredible experiences. You pals of ours are everything. You're the reason we do this. You're the reason this podcast exists. Thank you so much, so much for your contributions.
MaximumFun.org/join is where you make it all happen. Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites. Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk
and
Mark Gagliardi.
Now it's time to share the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count.
Watch my three count. One, two, three. Get out of there.
That was sick.
Mark, the guests go first here, but before you put something over, it occurs to me that you didn't get to hear one of the most important pieces of sound associated with our show, which is normally we start with sort of the news and events, then we have a main event. Mm-hmm. So normally I would go, this is the main event, and then you'd hear this sound play.
Let's get ready to rock!
Anal bleeding.
Whoa!
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I love cake!
Cake sucks!
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, Hal.
What?
This show's dirtier than ours.
It is. This is the After Dark show, Mark.
Wow. Oh,
and Danielle's not
we
even here.
We don't swear on our show.
I know. I, knowing that Danielle wasn't here, I was like, am I going to have to talk about my genitals on the show this time? Since
how are you set up for Fuxlemania? I mean, that's the question everyone wants to know. That's what everyone wants to know.
Oh my God. I'm like a suburban dad. Mark, what would you like to put over?
One that I love and one that I don't love. I'll start with the one that I don't love. I don't love one half of my favorite tag team from back in the day is now the asshole running my hometown, which makes me very unhappy.
Yeah.
He's a terrible person.
He's a terrible person. We share a birthday.
Oh,
right?
No.
Like it just gets worse and worse. But the thing that I love, if I could point out any bit of pop culture that a wrestler has appeared in, I would direct you towards Maximum Fun's We Got This with Mark and Hal, episode 68, best classic arcade game featuring Austin Creed, a.k.a. Xavier Woods.
Oh, that's a good one. The Simon Gotch episode's also great.
Simon Gotch is also great.
Multiple time guests. Yes. Yeah. And Colt.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of wrestling.
We've had a lot of
there.
Wrestlers on We Got This.
But that's a great way in right there. Yeah. Oh, good. What a great choice. I wasn't expecting that. Lindsay, what would you like to put over?
Do you know, it's just very hard to talk about anything that's not Vanderpump Rules, which I realize is a crossover for about four of our listeners. But if you care about Vanderpump Rules right now, you really care about Vanderpump Rules. And I really tried to find a wrestling connection with those monsters. Hal's laughing because it's all happening near him. It's all in the valley. It's just very exciting. Why aren't
Stay
you there right now, Hal? Why aren't you outside the house?
I'm really close to that. The Kardashians, it's like down the block.
You're
what?
Right there.
Makes it sound like I live in
yeah, you, all, what do you have? When did you get a mansion?
Yeah.
You've been to my home. You know where, you know how close I am to all of that.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like, but right like between his Calabasas.
Shithead adjacent.
Agora Hills. Yeah. It's all right there. It's all right there.
I'm like Conejo Valley adjacent is what I like to say. Real close to the Conejo Valley. Basically, that's where I live.
It's very exciting. But what I will put over out of respect for Mr. Johnson, because I did say I didn't give two shits about his work. But what I do give a shit about is he is a very nice person, I believe, based on my personal interaction with him, which is super minimal. But in 2013, I was in LA. Speaking of assholes, I was in LA for Coachella. So I was still living in New York then, but I came to LA to go to Coachella. Because that was a thing people did 10 years ago.
Who are you?
And the night after Coachella, my friend and I stayed at the Roosevelt, the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. We check in. The entire pool area is curtained off. Like the floor-to-ceiling window of those cabana rooms, just curtains right outside my window. And the back door that opens to the pool is locked. And the guy in the front desk says, oh, yeah, we should have mentioned this. There's a party tonight by the pool, but it will be over by 10. Let me send some drinks to your room. And we're like, well, this is suspicious, but maybe we can crash the party. We cannot crash the party. We go out, actually went to Hooters, and there was a bomb threat. What a wild weekend I had.
What?
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Someone called in a bomb threat to Hooters, but we got free wings. So who was the loser? Not me.
Was that 911 call? The Rock just saw a backpack in the backseat of a Hooters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless him. Bless him.
By the way, this is an anonymous call.
Yeah.
And like one of the best ways to eat in an affordable fashion on that stretch of Hollywood Boulevard. So go back to the hotel. The party is still raging. It is past 10 o'clock. It is so late. It's just getting crazier and crazier. At this point, it's like nearly midnight. And the guy at the front desk is like, so basically, it's the Pain and Gain premiere party. Mark Wahlberg and The Rock. And they were supposed to end it at 10, but for every 15 minutes they go over, they have to pay us like $100,000, like an obscene amount of money. So the night manager at the hotel is like, basically, I have no real reason to knock this party on the head. I am just going to let them keep going. Several years later, someone tweets something to me about The Rock because of this podcast. I'm sure I was talking to someone about the podcast and about The Rock. And I replied and just like, yeah, I would enjoy The Rock apart from how he ruined my night's sleep because of the Pain and Gain premiere party at the Roosevelt Hotel in 2013. And The Rock replied to the tweet.
What?
To apologize. And he tweeted and apologized and said, it wasn't him. He wasn't there. He was actually recovering from surgery. It was that asshole Wahlberg. And I should take it up with him, but he's very sorry. And I was chastened, but also delighted because I didn't tag him in it. Someone else tagged him in it. He was very charming and he apologized.
You know, I hate to say it, but somehow we did get from Vanderpump Rules to wrestling. So it counts.
You got us there.
Wow.
Nothing is more wrestling than Vanderpump Rules.
Sometimes it's a marathon and not a sprint.
True.
That's
truly
the lesson for everybody out there.
Truly.
Geez, what am I going to put over? I'll put over The Rock in The Rundown. That was his first movie I saw him in where I was like, oh, this guy can actually be a movie star. Like, he's good at this. It's a really fun movie, and he's very good in it, as is Sean William Scott, who I feel like you don't really hear much from anymore. Maybe he just started making those goon movies and was like, I'm just going to keep doing this. This is fun.
Yeah.
So
maybe he could come back and do something with Coolidge.
There you go. Let's get him back in there.
He could do a Stifler and Stifler's Mom combo. Road trip movie.
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin, our very special guest, Mark Gagliardi. Mark.
Yeah.
Where can people find you online?
I'll tell you how. People can find me the same place they can find you on alternate days. We have joint custody. Lindsay and I have joint custody of Hal on the Maximum Fun Network. On We Got This with Mark and Hal, which new episodes every week. And we settle the arguments that you and your friends have that seem unimportant, but are really the most important to you. So that's what we do. And you can find me online. I'm at Mark Gags on social media.
And Blood and Treasure is available on Paramount Plus.
That's right. Blood and Treasure, both seasons 1 and 2, now streaming on Paramount Plus. So check it out.
Gotta watch that.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Of course. And also, can people find your commercial with John Morrison? Is that available on like YouTube or something?
You know what? I don't know. I'll send it to you. You can put it somewhere. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. It was Johnny Nitro and I did a Irish Spring commercial together where he beat me up and then I beat him up, which is believable, right?
Was he a nice guy?
Super nice. Couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Well, he also was an improv guy, so he was taking classes at Second City at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met him backstage at Second City. He could not have seemed less interested to say hello to me.
Like, oh, really?
Like he gave me the thing of like, it was like I was a sweaty wrestling fan who was coming in like with my hands shaking. Would you sign my tits? But that wasn't me at all.
What have I told you about asking wrestlers to sign your tits, Hal? We've talked about this.
You got to stop.
That they should do it. Ask nicely.
Also, you need to wash your tits. There's like 40 wrestlers on there at this point.
Are you kidding me? It looks like a basketball after a championship. I just don't want to get a tattoo because I don't want to. I want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, but I also don't want to lose these. So you know, I wrap it up like I'm Gwyneth Paltrow in Shakespeare in Love.
You know, like whenever at the end of the season, everybody signs the script. At the end of the season, here everybody signs house tits. They're like,
everybody sign my tits. But he was, it was so off-putting that in that moment I almost wanted to pull rank and be like, you know, I helped build this theater, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was literally here when this stage was built, and long before you were even on Tough Enough, I was doing stuff on this stage in this school. So you be nice, Mr. Man. But I didn't. I just backed away and felt embarrassed. You know where you can follow me. I'm at Hal Lublin everywhere. This is Max Fun Drive, though. So please, we've already talked to you about it, but go to MaximumFun.org/join. Set up that recurring monthly contribution as part of your membership. All the great gifts. Make sure you support and check that box for Tights and Fights. And also, we got this with Mark and Hal. If you have not listened before, this is the perfect time to do it. Lindsay?
You can find me the same place The Rock did. On social media at Lindsay Kelk. If it's good enough for Dwayne people, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
That's right.
Social media at Lindsay Kelk, all over the place, or I shouldn't be.
Our producer is Pun on Pun with the great Pun, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Thank you to all the Max Fun members who have signed up in the name of We Got This, Tights and Fights, and all of the other great Max Fun shows. You are the ones that keep us going. Keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels. You can find those in the show notes. That's also where you can find the official Tights and Fights t-shirt and the Ice Cream Christmas t-shirt. Get it now. It's WrestleMania time, people. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Yeah, and if five people give us money at $5 a month, we'll have a similar budget to Marine 6, actually.
We're so close.
No, we won't. Like they did that on 75p and a raccoon.
And a dream.
75p and a dream.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.